This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Metroplex. We are live with the Tolo Tuesday edition of Sean and RJ on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Good morning to everyone on the Twitch, the YouTube, the Fan Cam. Thank you for listening on the radio or the Odyssey app.
Odyssey.
Got you covered for the next 4 hours here on DFW Sports Station. We got live baseball going on?
I suppose. it was a tremendous job that they did marketing the opening series between the Cubs and the Dodgers in the Tokyo Dome. Just fantastic work. So the Dodgers and Cubs are playing a live game. Cubs up one zip, and they're going to go back to Arizona and resume spring training.
Did they honor Ipe before the game?
I didn't hear about that. Yeah. Was that in Japan last year that broke?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know if he's at the game or not. He's probably in jail.
So this is going to count 1-0, 0-1.
Yeah. Well, they'll play two. They'll play one tomorrow as well. If the Rangers were playing this, we get a day off. We'll play G-Bag.
Oh. Okay. So we need to sign a Japanese pitcher.
Yeah. Basically. Like three of them.
Be great. Go get Sasaki or somebody.
Yeah. All right. So they're starting, I guess, with the... Now, in all seriousness, how would you start this? We understand why they're doing it. We have two Japanese pitchers for the first time ever facing each other in an opener. It's in Japan. How would you do it with spring training and everything?
Yeah, I honestly have no idea. Like, they're probably doing it the right way, right? You got to give these guys
time to get back.
The time change. I don't know what the time change is. I assume it's like nighttime in Japan right now. So you've got to give them the time to recoup. But I don't know. I mean, maybe. They're clearly not marketing this to us because they didn't say a word about this. It's like, are they just doing this in secret? Are they embarrassed?
Are you embarrassed?
Like, if you don't promote anything, you're kind of embarrassed by it, right? Like, you don't want people to know?
Well, are you watching ESPN a ton when you go home throughout the day?
Not a ton.
Yeah, I'm trying to think my Monday through Friday when I have SportsCenter on.
Yeah.
I'll go home. I'll try to catch a DFW segment on First Take, something on Get Up. I'm not putting it on SportsCenter anymore.
That's true.
ESPN and SportsCenter are number three on my list, trying to catch a segment or an interview on McAfee or something else to use for this show.
Yeah, I mean,
they're still ESPN entities.
Right, and this game's on Fox anyway. It's not even on ESPN.
So
ESPN probably wouldn't promote this much. So I've
definitely not watching FS1 then.
Definitely not watching FS1. Like, ESPN, they got a ton of college basketball, so that's for me. But, yeah, they kind of hid this, unless you're, I suppose, watching FS1 that everybody knows. This is on Fox.
Fox.
Fox will run this game, but they won't run a playoff game.
Chip Wagner this
morning.
They
will never run a playoff game.
Bobby, some of the new Dallas Cowboys saying hello yesterday in Frisco?
Yes, they were. It was Kenneth Murray and Kyer Elam. And I don't know. We had to mention this while you were out. I don't know if you know this. Kyer Elam, the former first-round pick of the Florida Gators, he is actually a bloodline Cowboy. His dad, Abram Elam, was with the Cowboys. Choppy used to see him in the locker room when he would cover the team.
Abe Elam.
Yeah, Abram Elam.
Probably saw him naked.
That's it, yeah.
Is that who Witten ran off?
No, that was
the safety, right?
Rodney Poole.
Okay.
Yeah. So Abram Elam, he did not get run off. Matt Elam, formerly of the Ravens, that's his uncle. So it's all a family thing. And then Kenneth Murray, the linebacker from Oklahoma, he was the one who he's been a bust to this point, to put it lightly. But talk about a guy who they think is just off the charts leadership, and a guy they would have been interested in picking in 2020. Had CeeDee Lamb not been there. So both guys who are reclamation projects or rehab patients, if you will, trying to get their careers jump started here.
Kenneth Murray, the new linebacker, saying, like a lot of people who end up here or just play on other teams, this was my team all along.
So when I came out, it was COVID. I do remember exactly where I was when I met with the Cowboys. I was living in Houston in a little apartment, and we met over Zoom. I felt like we had a really, really good conversation. Felt like we connected really well. And so, yeah, I mean, had a great impression after that meeting. And so, feel like, you know, I've always loved the Cowboys. I mean, I grew up a Cowboys fan. My whole family's a Cowboys fan, so... I mean, it's definitely a dream for me playing here.
So there it is, whole family, Cowboys fans, and all that stuff. So of the two acquisitions, Murray and Elam, excited is too strong a word. You more optimistic about Kaiir if it had to come down to one of the two?
Yeah, probably. I mean, Kenneth Murray's 5 years deep into his career. This is year six for him. He's a great athlete. He's a great leader. He's not a... It hasn't been put together for him yet. His instincts have not looked very good. Elam is just, Elam's 23. He's 23. He was a first round pick. Same class as Tyler Smith. So, I mean, he's still.
No, that's a kid, man.
He's really young. And he's had some moments where he's had his struggles, but he's also got a lot of different traits that you like and somebody who at times has played well. And just honestly, when you talk to people outside of Dallas who, you know, whether it be people in Buffalo or whatever else, they'll talk about, yeah, he probably needed a change of scenery. He needed a fresh start because he had just become a little beaten down here.
I mean, I generally like the idea of just grabbing on to former first rounders.
Well, then you'll love this strategy this offseason. Yep. I think the question has to be asked to scouting people and general managers and those in front offices. When does your college evaluation disappear? How many years in?
To me, it probably depends on the position.
Why?
I think certain positions are just, you should be able to meet your
expectations
earlier. So like quarterback,
I take a while.
Linebacker. Running back, like yesterday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you should be able, cornerback, I could see, you know, I could see corner taking a little bit longer.
It also comes down to the question of what type of investment are you talking about? In terms of taking a flyer, that evaluation may never go away.
Yeah,
where it's one of those things where it's like, well, I'm willing to take a gamble on a guy that I knew had these traits. But yeah, I would say probably Kenneth Murray is a guy who probably at year five, they look at and go, you should kind of know by now. I would say probably year four or five is when they get an idea of it.
Kaiir Elam on why it has not worked out as a first round pick so far and how it can change.
I mean, first it starts with opportunity, right? You know, coming in early in my career, like I wasn't blessed with the opportunity to go out there and be the full-time starter, you know what I mean? So right there, right then and there, it's like, what can I do to take advantage of any opportunity I do get, you know what I mean? And not to point the finger or anything like that, but I just felt like with me being confident in myself and making plays, you know, with my little opportunities I did get, you know, I would expect it more, but that wasn't the case. I mean, I just continued to put my head down and keep grinding to get better and improve, you know? So I just felt like, as a younger player, I was able to learn from the sidelines and learn from my mistakes now to help me succeed now, you know what I mean? Because this is something I don't take for granted. You can ask anybody, man. I really love the game, and I really feel like it's my time to win. So I think that's what I can take away from, you know, my career so far.
He's the exact type of person you want to gamble on. He is a 6'2 corner who runs 4'3", and he is... By all accounts, everybody who talks about it will say, just because it didn't work out in Buffalo doesn't mean this dude wasn't working. This dude worked really, really hard, and he is really committed to what he does. He's got a ridiculous backstory, you know, just passed down from his dad in terms of their life that they had growing up. Abram Elam, his dad, three of his siblings were shot to death in the span of about 10 years.
Whoa.
So grew up in like a really rough area. And, you know, so Kair had several different uncles and different things like that that died while he was growing up that were shot. But I mean, all the traits are there. The mentality there, the work ethics there. It's just a matter of they've got to see it all come together and bring it out of him. And so I'm sure Eberflus probably felt like this is a guy that I can work with and somebody I can get it out of.
The feedback I got on some of the no-name additions actually came on Jack Sanborn, the linebacker. This is my buddy Mark Carman, who stopped by in Indianapolis from Chicago. And he said, Sanborn makes plays. I call him Sand God. Bears should never have signed Edmonds, demoted him, now cut him. Not going to win combine drills, but he makes plays. So a little Chicago love from Jack Sanborn, Scrappy, reuniting with Matt Eberflus. Way to go with the stereotype, Bobby.
He's scrappy.
A former Cowboy is trying to make a comeback. Michael Gallup? Michael Gallup scheduled to visit who? The Cowboys' offseason enemy, the Seattle Seahawks. Also had a visit with the Commanders. He turns 29 years old this month.
Good. I'm happy for him. You know, like, he obviously was not mentally prepared to resume his career after the knee injury. And maybe he's fine now. Maybe he needs the money. I don't know. Like, you know, maybe he's just itching to get back and play football. Whatever his motivation for playing is, I hope he does well. He's a sweet kid. And, yeah. When he was before the injury, I mean, he could beat you over the top. I mean, that was kind of his thing. We'll see. We'll see what he has.
Cowboys fans are going to turn sour really quickly, though, if that contract didn't work out here and all of a sudden he just retires and pops up somewhere else and all of a sudden starts contributing. Yeah. They're not going to be too happy with that. I will say, though, this does. If he signs with the Seahawks, it creates renews a little bit of bitterness probably between those two organizations that existed 7-8 years ago.
Well, unfortunately, they don't play each other this year.
I know. That's what's upsetting. But you had the Earl Thomas drama there for a little bit where the Seahawks were holding them hostage for a pick. It's actually funny. They would have traded Aldon Smith in 2020. The Seahawks called the Cowboys about Aldon Smith. And Seattle routinely said, it's a second for Earl Thomas, except for the Cowboys. It's a one for you.
Yeah.
And so when the Seahawks called about Aldon Smith, they said, it's a fifth for everybody else, but it's a four for you. And Seahawks were like, okay, well, I guess we're not getting Aldon Smith. Thank you.
Don't let your money get mad. And then we saw Aldon Smith on the streets of New Orleans.
That was Nolan Smith.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought you said Aldon. David Moore, Dallas Morning News, with some follow-up on the running back situation. Why did they go out and sign Javonte Williams when it would not have cost more to keep Rico? Well, that means the club's talent assessment of the two is different from yours. Javonte was signed to be a complement to the back the Cowboys select in the draft next month, not as an excuse to ignore the position again. The addition of Miles Sanders also does not alter that blueprint. It's just more competition and depth at a position that needs it.
So they're just saying, like, we should be prepared. They're going to take a running back very, very high.
Or in the draft, yeah. Because now there's a lot of, we'll get to this later in the show, the Quinn Ewers targeting is starting to pick up a little bit. Ian Rappaport tried to slyly drop that in his report last night, but starting to get a little heat up with Quinn in the sights. That would have to be, Bobby could tell us different.
Quinn's going to go, but I don't think Quinn makes it to, I don't think he makes it to day three. I think he's second rounder.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So if you were looking at that quarterback that Steven says always disappears before we pick, make our fourth round selection, your second rounder maybe going to a quarterback, and then third, fourth, fifth, although Mel Kiper has been talking about other running backs for the Cowboys too, and Dane Brugler.
Yeah, so running back is also, that's a big thing here, is that people just think running back's super deep. That's one of the reasons why people aren't necessarily thinking you should go after Jeanty so early. But to me, it's, and we've talked about this, the question that they're asking themselves over there at Cowboys HQ, I imagine, is, you know, why is Jeanty good enough to break rules? Why is he good enough to break rules that we have or general philosophies that we have? We're willing to, but you got to really sell why this guy is the exception.
All right, that's a little inside the star to start off the Tolo Tuesday edition. We got a PBR ticket giveaway in the next hour for you turning it on, leaving it on. We say goodbye to Peyton Russell at 6:40. Hopefully he survives the streets of Boston after St. Patrick's Day. But holy crap, last night in the NBA, Nico continuing to be tortured. What happened with Tracy Morgan at the Garden in a wheelchair? And Anthony Davis is about to come back? Why? Why? Next on The Fan.